This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. And generally speaking, when Jonas is in here and the O-Dog's in here, we try to pit the two of you together.
You mean against each other?
Against each other, I should say, yes.
Yeah.
And I guess we're going to try to do that probably in the next hour or so. We'll put both of you guys up on the podium, and I think a spelling bee might be in order this afternoon.
Do you think that's a good idea for this guy?
You're the journalist. You should be running away with this.
Yes.
Words, those, that's your world, right? You live in the world of words.
Words. What I worry about is a fix. Because we've seen in these trivia competitions, the questions have been questionable.
Wow. I have nothing to do with anything. Direct your complaint to Grappler, comma.
And I told you before the show, you don't make them like so impossible. No one gets to spell anything right. Like, just have some normal words.
Here's what I'm gonna. I'll give you guys a bit of a tip.
Okay.
Probably gonna be a number of names from people that work at TSN. Probably.
That's a spelling bee?
Yeah, so it's going to be Stanishevsky.
Could be.
That's a bad look.
Why?
I couldn't spell Stanishevsky.
Jonas?
No. That's hard.
Why not?
Because it should be.
She's on SportsCenter all the time.
So what?
It's a tough name, but it's a great name. I love that name.
Have you ever heard of names in the spelling bee? Do you watch the spelling bee?
No. I have a life. I have no interest in the spelling bee.
You're probably the only one in this building that's ever been in one.
Have you been in a spelling bee professionally?
I was trying to remember back. I think I came
that was his
in
game.
Second one.
Crushed
year.
It at
but that
spelling
could be wrong.
Today.
Where though? Like in the like Toronto School Board or something like that? Like so you went all the way to like the city championships? In
no,
Toronto,
just at our school.
Oh, you couldn't even win at your school?
I think it was like fourth grade maybe. I came second.
Oh, that doesn't count then? Everyone has to do some sort of, you know,
where
like
else
a
would
science.
I do it?
I'm sure.
Did people think you were cool for doing that?
I don't know. I don't care.
What?
Did people think you were cool? As if Jonas would care 30 years ago, the impression that people had from you. Probably you were forced into doing it, I would assume.
I don't remember, I think so.
What do you mean forced? He did it on his own.
Well, when you're in school, like, you all have to do a science experiment.
Yeah.
Like, I had to do it every single year. I wasn't dying to do it. I didn't put my hand up to be like, can I please make this volcano erupt?
Right. And we needed
what
guys
did you
like
do,
you.
Your stupid science?
I actually moved on. I think I went all the way to the city championships at one point.
For a science project?
A science project, that's right.
What was it on?
I think I missed my calling. I should be doing what Jonas does, what Myrtle does. Mike Kelly was in here earlier.
It was
today on
journalism?
It was titled How Statistics Can Fool You. And I put together all these different numbers, and I put together a little. I don't know. I guess it was basically an experiment where you put together like a mass amount of numbers compared to a small amount of numbers, and you had to determine who was the better or
sample
whatever.
Sample size.
It was a sample size science experiment.
But you were
and
saying
it went
that
over
the numbers
very well.
Were not useful. Is that what you were saying?
That's right. They were fooling.
So you were team eye test even back then.
That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah. So maybe actually I did find my calling and I continued through with it. That's exactly what happened. Anyway, Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, will join us here in a moment. You never did a science experiment. You had to.
Yeah, I was a straight-A student. A's around the horn.
So then you had to do it.
I did mine on lung capacity.
There you go.
Yes, guy.
Leafs in action tonight. Dallas in town. We'll get to that in a moment. I don't know if you guys saw the Zdeno Chara, Brendan Gallagher scrum and the cross check.
I don't know how that's not a suspension. I mean, it's a blatant cross check right to the face.
I'll tell you how. Zdeno Chara never gets suspended. He is one of the dirtiest players in the league, and he gets away with everything because the excuse is always, well, he's 6'9". Like, if you have
that play
the audacity,
in the playoffs last year where he sucker punched John
that
Tavares.
Was gutless.
If that was Tom Wilson, he's 5 games.
Absolutely.
Like, 5 games.
Like, he popped Tavares and went through a scrum to get him, and Tavares dropped.
Dropped him.
If Gallagher fell on the ice last night, Chara gets suspended for multiple games.
No, if he fell on the ice motionless like he was concussed, then maybe.
Right.
Who knows?
But he gets away with everything. Like, remember the... Now, I didn't believe he should have been suspended for the hit on Pacioretty where he rides him out and he ran into the stanchion. But remember that story that went crazy? That last night is blatantly a suspension, in my opinion.
I always wonder how much Jerry's buddy is behind that, too.
Jeremy Jacobs in Boston.
Well, he gave the team to his kids, I think, but still, they're still boys.
It's still, that's his number one guy. It always has been.
Always will be.
How do you
fine
him.
That's a fine.
You say it's a fine, but it's not a suspension. Like, I don't care that Gallagher's smaller than you. Everyone's smaller than you. You're 6'9". You don't have
the
right.
What's he supposed to do? Chop down on, like, his chest?
Don't cross-check a guy in the face. It's not overly complicated.
Yeah, Tom Wilson did that. It's 5 games.
He has control of his stick. He cross-checked a guy in the face.
But because he's 6'8", he doesn't get to cross-check anyone?
But that's all... Not in the face. I don't care if you're 5 feet or 7 feet. You can't cross-check someone in the face.
But he'd be, like, chopping wood.
Are you saying that you're okay with that play last night?
No, but I don't know if it's a suspension.
Dude, it's a game. It's a cross-check to the face.
Definitely should have been suspended.
But you're right. If, like, if he fell on the ice and hit his head, he'd suspend.
Oh, if Gallagher's on
games.
The ground, he's done exactly.
Dude, if Chara did that to you, he'd knock your little pee head clean off of your body.
Gallagher's not that much bigger than me.
Yeah, he's not. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What did you make of that Chara cross-check last night?
Suspension, for sure.
Yeah.
A game.
Finding him $5,000, seriously, did he just go back and pull it out of his suit pocket? Like these fines that the guys get, man, it's not even close to a deterrent,
no.
Is my point. Like, $5,000,
not when
grand,
you made $100 million.
Right, they're like, yeah, okay, by the way, do I write you a check or can I direct deposit? Like, that doesn't even matter. Like, Jonas, I'm honestly, aside from you apparently losing a spelling bee to O.
I haven't lost, no.
No, it hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened, Ray.
Fake news is spreading online.
Jonas, if you lose this, by the way, I will never talk to you again. I know this is a little bit of pressure, or maybe you'd like that to happen, but you cannot lose. You keep telling us how sharp you are.
I don't know about that, but
you know what, Ray? You promote your intelligence a fair amount.
No, I don't. I do my job. Ray, the problem is...
Look to your right. Look who you're competing against.
Hey, buddy, don't kid yourself. It might...
Well, the problem is they're going to do... Hayes says they're going to do names.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That, I think, is stupid. Ray, can you spell Stanishevsky?
Not a chance.
Yeah, stupid.
Stupid.
I can spell Natasha.
Yeah, me too.
But that's like, how would, I don't know, can she, well, I'd like to know how old she was when she learned to spell that.
That's actually a really good question. How old was Natasha when she learned to spell Stanishevsky?
Five or six.
We're going to cold call her after we talk to Ray.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get that answer for you.
Okay, because I think, Jonas, you shouldn't fear names. They're just letters arranged in a certain order.
Let's just say this, I'm not fearful of losing. Sorry, Jeff.
Buddy, I don't care. I'll still beat you, and I'll just say O'Neill rules.
I'll be looking, man.
Yeah, it'll
okay,
be going
so
viral.
Back to the cross check. It doesn't matter if he's 6'8" and Gallagher's 5'8". Doesn't matter. You can't cross check somebody in the neck or the throat or the face. You can't. And he should be suspended. Guaranteed.
Yep, he should be on the books.
It doesn't
look
like he has been suspended.
No, I give him credit for it. He is he plays as mean and as dirty and sneaky. You would think he's 5'7", kind of in and out of scrums, and he's the biggest guy on the ice, every ice he's ever been on in his life, and he gets away with everything. He does.
Yeah, it's not like you can't find him out there.
No.
You know, like, I don't know, like, the Matt Dumba got $5,000 for slashing, and Antoine Roussel, I forget how much he got, $5,000 for slashing a guy's stick in the stands. Chara got the same thing for cross-checking a guy in the face. Like, that makes no sense.
No, it really doesn't. It there's no explanation for it.
Wasn't the point of a suspension to deter it from happening again? And that's why the Astros...
Yes, but I don't think the league ever gets that right.
No.
They don't deter anything with their suspensions.
No.
It doesn't hurt enough. And so the guy goes, that sucks. I got a 2-game suspension, and oh well, there you go.
Well, I was going to say the only one that actually felt deterrent was the Kadri one, but that obviously wasn't deterring.
Well, and he deserved both of the ones that he got.
Yeah, but it didn't.
And it obviously, you're right. The first one did not deter him from doing it hit the exact same spot in the exact same game a year later. That's probably the perfect example.
Oops.
Yeah, that message didn't really register for Nas. Anyway, the Leafs with Dallas in town tonight. Looks like they're going back to the well with Nylander, Matthews, and Marner.
Not sure why.
I'm a bit surprised. They didn't connect a couple of nights ago. Are you surprised at all, Ray?
A little bit. Although, right after the game, when Sheldon Keefe was talking about that line, somebody asked him. He said, I don't know if that was really a good look, because Nylander was, you know, had missed the two previous games, and he clearly didn't have, he had nothing the other night. So I think I'd like to see it one time to see exactly what it looks like. However, I'll be honest with you. I'm super intrigued by their skill. I just don't see how this line would work.
Now, who's going to go get the puck? Like, that's the bottom line. Nobody really wants to do some dirty work on that line. You need one guy that's kind of interested. I mean, well, they're back, I mean, in the day, you could put Fedorov, Larionov, and Yzerman on a line, but they were just the next level where it worked.
But also, like, yeah, the game, you know, the game, of course, we talk about it all every day. It's like, it skews to skill and all that. But the difference is, I would say, with these three guys is they all need the puck. Like, just think, when they go up the middle of the ice, go up through the neutral zone, who do you envision with the puck? I envision all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it sometimes it just doesn't work. I don't see how this could be a long-term solution, just like I don't see Zach Hyman and Alex Kerfoot as John Tavares' wingers on a long-term solution.
Trying to get a read on Zach Hyman is tough to do right now.
On a 35-goal pace.
He's got, I believe, 27 points in his last 27 games.
28 games.
I think he's just an...
He's
one of my favorite players to watch in the league. I love watching him play. I love what he brings to the table. He's what you call a coach's dream. Well, if you listen to Babcock, there's no other better example than that. But he plays hard. He plays good, and that's what he brings to the table. He's a really good player. I love watching him play.
Man, would I love to have had him on my wing?
No kidding.
Oh man, like, you know, he's just the opposite of. Of course, I would have liked to have had Marner on my wing too, but like, he doesn't need the puck. He'll go get it. And, like, for me, I needed or wanted the puck, and that was where my effectiveness was. And Hyman, he doesn't need much to make lots effective. Like, you play him with good players. If there was ever a time that he had to be just your checking winger, man, he'd be phenomenal at that too. I think he's invaluable to their team.
Yeah, I think they're all aware of it, right? He had that quote a couple of days ago asking him if he feels like he's underrated, and he said, not in the room.
Tell you what, he is underpaid.
He is, yep. But, you know, at the time, that was an appropriate price.
That was, but I think he's up pretty soon.
He's up after next year,
after
I believe.
After next year, yeah.
Yeah, he's got one more after this. And
oh, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, because he's going to say, look, the other guy, the big boys make $11 million. I'm at least half as good as them, aren't I? That's what he's going to say.
Well, if he continues with the points, you know, I don't think he's not a 35 goal scorer.
No.
But if he can put a couple years together where you're like,
that's all he has to say. I'm half as good as them, aren't I?
Yeah, but he's not getting 5.5 a year.
He might be one
of
those guys like we saw in Chicago where you can't pay them and you just have to let them go.
Right. That's a really good example Chicago. Year after year had to let guys disappear that they mm-hmm. didn't want to.
Well, Ray, he also has to...
No room.
He also has to think about, there's some guys in Chicago that left and went elsewhere and weren't very good. Like Andrew Shaw, it's like he was only good in Chicago.
Right. Okay, so I don't know what... Yeah, I don't know his career earnings, but they're having the same discussion out here with Jacob Markstrom, and, you know, should he take a little bit of a hometown discount to, you know, to stay in Vancouver, or... You know, well, Markstrom's made $17 million in his career. Cut it in half for taxes. He's got 8.5. Still more than most make ever in their lifetimes, right? Except he's got a chance here for one big swing. And I would always encourage the player to think about himself first. Because let's say they go to Hyman and say, hey, if you want to stay here and you want to keep playing with John Tavares or Austin Matthews or whatever, you're going to have to take $500,000 less. Like, if I'm Hyman, I'd go, oh, geez, I got to think about that. But if I take $500,000 left, none of the other guys did. And so why am I, the shovel guy, taking less money? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I think it'll be a very complex negotiation from his standpoint.
We've had enough contract negotiation talk around here for 10 years.
Right, but
it's a year and a way. Let's talk about the meaty stuff, the playoffs, how to get there. Can they get there? Can they morph into that machine we were talking about in the very first segment?
All right.
Can you guys? Okay, you guys are sitting there. Can you even take him seriously when he does that?
Go look. Go find the video. It's online. He's okay. He's 6 inches from my nose, and pointing at me.
Like, oh, you're. I like how you just swung that right back to the relevancy of today.
I had a great take on Hyman too. That just. You caught me out at the knees.
How about this? You tell me in the break.
All right, we'll get to it later.
Well,
that's
Ray,
the play. That's
what
we were
talking about in the first segment was. I said to Brian, what did you say you weren't that confident in them?
No, I said I think they're 50-50 to get in.
Yeah.
And if you're 50-50 to get in, I mean, that's...
And then I asked you the question, do you think that they could change your view on them where they could be a machine where you're like, they're going to be automatically in, they're going to be good in the playoffs, and you said, I don't think so.
Not based on 55 games or whatever we've seen so far, like a well-oiled machine. Do you see that, Ray? Can you picture that in 2 months from now?
There'd have to be some change for sure.
Yeah, but what change could possibly happen? I don't know.
Well, part of the change is going to be Riley coming back, and hopefully whatever was bugging him before, with the 2.5 months off that he's going to have, that would have healed a little bit to help him be more mobile, to be more like Morgan Riley. Maybe they can make an addition as well, because now they've got Riley's cap space available if they don't bring him back to the first game of the playoffs. So adding Riley and another defenseman, to me, is a significant addition. I think they're, like Brian said, 50-50 to get in. Oh, man, I think it's 80-20.
Okay.
Like, I
hope
good
you're right, Ray.
I think they're good enough to get in.
Here's my thing. I think they are good enough, too. They should be there. I don't think they should be a point in, is my point. And I don't think it's just... I don't think it's a player or two. I think it's a philosophy. I think it's a headspace.
A mindset.
That's my issue. Exactly. Is their attention to detail, shift to shift, can change dramatically. The way, like, they get into a third period sometimes, and it's like, I don't know what we're doing. I don't think you could add the Victor Hedman could be playing tonight. I don't think that changes. Like, I still think they're going to have too many. They just, there's something about the way this team performs night in, night out, that doesn't offer me up a ton of confidence. And that's a philosophy, I think, or a mentality.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that. And I can, and I would also say, but that's the way they're built. Like with the, and I don't mean that, oh, they're built with guys that can't fit, you know, that can't concentrate or think when the game gets tough. They're built with players in a way that the blue collar half of the game, if it's even half anymore, I don't know that it is, that's different for them. That's not in their DNA.
But right,
and so we'll see if they can do that.
I wonder if it's like you need playoff scars, and obviously they have playoff scars. But like you look at all these teams like Pittsburgh, Washington, St. Louis. Once they've gone deep in the playoffs a few times, then they win. It's almost like they develop something that they kind of figure out. And I wonder if they just need to actually go through that. Where they win a couple rounds, lose.
Well, you got to get out of the first round to get those
scars.
Yeah,
but I guess that's what I mean. Like, we saw it with the Raptors where it was like they couldn't get over the hump. They kept getting, like, to the same place, and then they get over the hump, and this year it's like, yeah, we lost Kawhi, whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, certainly all their playoff experience is how to get right to the edge and not step over the goal line, right? Like, they've had it there. They've been there. The next step would be to win something. Can they put three rounds together? Man, that seems like a long way, doesn't it? Like from where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's they're built a certain way. They're built in a vision that is different than what has been constructed in the past, not just in Toronto, but in most places around the league, almost every place. And nobody's going to know if it's going to work or not until we get to April.
Yeah. and they've got to get there, got to get in. And it's the only thing I would challenge with that thought is I don't think there's another sport, you know, Big Four North American sport, where the game is played so differently in the playoffs compared to the regular season. So using your playoff experience and applying it to the regular season, I don't know if it
but it's a
counts
mentality,
for us
right?
Much.
It's a mentality.
Yeah, and it's a confidence level. I get it. And I just that's my issue with this team. You know, I think they'll get in. I think looking at them on paper, they should be in. But it's not about the individual personnel for me. It's the whole cocktail, so to speak. You know, and it just, for whatever reason, they've been wildly inconsistent at times, and their attention to detail can fade and then show up. And so we'll see. I mean, we still got 25 games for them to prove themselves, which is a fair amount. You know, it's a third of the season.
But what is, like, Ray, you mentioned, like, the style of team that they built, and we talk about that a lot. But what is the other style of, like, what is the other style of team that has consistently won? Is it, like, do we look at big teams
harder.
And say, yeah, harder? Yeah, that's a good word.
You know, like, just, it's not like being tougher or meaner. It's just they're harder. Mm-hmm. They're, like, go through any team that's won. I mean, outside of, you know, St. Louis is, you know, hard as nails, right? And Washington is gigantic. Mm-hmm. Like, when you watch them play and you're like, oh, my God, these guys are enormous. And then go back through some of the Stanley Cup winners back to Chicago, and they still, like, I think Chicago's the one that I keep coming back to. And you know, and when I think of the Blackhawks, first guy I think of is Patrick Kane. And that's more, you know, Patrick's, you know, is one of the greats of the game. But think about how hard that team played. And I just don't see that from Toronto yet. I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know that they're built that way.
St. Louis is another good example of a team. For 10 years, they were like, these guys, yeah, Ray, you picked them a couple years to win the Cup, and they didn't even come close. And they had those scars, and then they broke through and won the Cup, and now it's just like a factory. They lost their best player in the first month of the season. They just said, screw that. We are going to be a winning machine, and that is exactly what they are.
Okay.
Sorry, that's just outstanding. Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you throw a shout-out to those great folks in the Lower Mainland today? Because they had a great night last night.
Those people, my people out in the Lower Mainland, and the people in North Tonawanda, they deserve stuff like that.
Well, you mentioned Markstrom, man. You should start negotiating after last night's game, man. That was something else.
He's in the Vezina conversation now. He has to be.
I would suggest he has to be as well.
He plays every night. They've given up over 30 shots 9 games in a row. Last night was 49. Like, they had no business winning last night.
Ray, they should go out and pull. I think Vancouver is the one team that should go to Columbus and go out and get a bunch of guys and load up and say, you know what? Why not us? Who the hell else scares you in the West?
Well, who
Colorado, St. Louis.
But in that division, who scares you? Edmonton,
nobody.
Vegas, Calgary,
no
Arizona.
One.
Nobody does. Someone's got to get through. Someone's in the conference final. Maybe by default, but they're there.
For them, it's a winger and a winger and a defenseman.
Yeah, go get it. Be Jimmy Rutherford of the West and go get it done early.
Well, it might not line up like this quite so often. I mean, there's nobody that stands out for sure as someone you go, oh, you know what? We'd have to be lucky to beat them.
No.
There's nobody like that.
Well, go get Petrie and Chris Kreider. Start with that.
Yeah. It'll cost you a lot for those two.
Yeah, but you know what? They've been blowing money out of here like crazy over the last few years with misspending all over the place in free agency. And that really hasn't worked very well for them. But last summer they went out and they traded a first-round pick for JT Miller. He's been unreal.
Unreal.
He's been so good.
And so, like, they're like, it is now for them. Even though they're, you know, their cornerstones are 20 and 21 years old, and Hughes and Pettersson, it is now for them. And so I can't disagree. Why not swing hard here?
Well,
the great people deserve it.
Yeah, the Lower Mainland. Burnaby, too. Special place in my heart for Burnaby. I'll jump on your bandwagon.
Do you even know where Burnaby is?
No, it's in Alberta, probably.
I'll tell you where there's great people. Kelowna. The wonderful people of Kelowna
great
deserve
people.
It.
Which is nowhere near Vancouver, but that's fine.
It's in the Pacific time zone.
Yes, you guys have got that right. You know what? For the next Jonas versus O contest after this spelling bee, there should be a Canadian geography test.
I like that idea. I really think there's a lot of potential there.
That's a tough one.
North Delta. Where's North Delta?
Northwest
north
Territories.
North South Delta.
Just north of South Delta.
Ray, do you want to be like our phone-a-friend?
Yes, I could help in BC. Don't get me into the Maritimes. I'd get you in the wrong province, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What is the capital, Ray, of New Brunswick?
Fredericton.
I don't know if that's right or not. It is? Yeah, it is.
Well done. Not exactly a Alex Trebek in here.
I was going to say, that's not Alex in the middle there doing the quote. That's like, we could be like the old SCTV halfwits.
Right. Well, do you see Rick Moranis is making a comeback for...
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's right. He has been out of Hollywood.
Dude, he's a regular dude. He's been a regular dude for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's coming back. He was always good, man. He was in some great movies.
What's the name of Moranis?
Ghostbusters, wasn't he? Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he was in the Flintstones. Remember, he played Barney Rubble in the Flintstones.
Oh, Barney, what an actor.
Yeah, oh, spectacular. So, Rick Moranis, he's a Toronto guy. He used to be a radio guy. He used to be on radio. So maybe you still have potential, both of us do, to make it big
in
Hollywood.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
There's always a chance. All right, buddy. Well, we'll let you know how it goes in the next hour, and then we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
Jonas, remember, riding on the line is whether we speak again or not.
I think you'll talk to me regardless.
Okay, we'll
hedging your bets.
Okay, we'll talk.
You'll just be disappointed.
I will be. I will be. Like a parent, I would be disappointed if you come up short. No offense, though, but I'd be disappointed.
None taken, my brother. We'll talk tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Later on.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, joining us from the Lower Mainland in British Columbia.
He's in Kelowna.
And on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% at Maple Toyota right next to Canada's Wonderland. Spelling Bee in about a half an hour. Bob McKenzie in studio later in the hour. We'll get back into the Houston Astros and that debacle earlier today. That
embarrassment. Steve Keogh would be ashamed watching that.
Yep. There's a lot to get into, including the idea that maybe this is challenging. There's no such thing as bad press. They're the most hated team in sports. I kind of want to see them play. We'll see what you guys have to say about it. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, in studio in the next hour. Spelling Bee pitting Jonas Siegel against the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. We'll do that into the 6 p.m. hour.
Why don't we do it now? We got a half an hour.
Well, because we're trying to build suspense.
For a spelling bee?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are waiting to see you two fools chop up words.
Is this your first spelling bee? Have you ever been in one?
Dude, let me tell you something, okay? When you were nerdicizing yourself in school, I was on a hockey rink working on my craft.
What does that have to do with being in a spelling bee?
Well, he just asked me, is it my first? Of course it is.
You didn't do it in school?
No. You opted in for it?
I don't know who you think you're talking to. You don't know me.
I know Jonas, and Jonas has more swag than he leads on.
I think you were underestimating me.
You were the jock, like the 80s jock in school?
Yeah, I played on all the teams.
What teams?
Basketball, volleyball, track. I played baseball. I think you've made a lot of assumptions,
yeah,
my friend.
You're underestimating our boy Jonas.
Yeah, sorry.
And I take it personally.
Thank you.
I'm on your side. I know the resume you bring.
You are getting a stone cold stunner regardless today.
Okay.
Like
I want to see it tried.
Up from those rafters and a stone cold stunner.
Yeah, okay. Okay. We'll see.
Isn't
man.
The stone cold stunner where he jumps over?
Yeah, you kick the guy in the stomach and then you hammer him into your shoulder. Is the stone cold? You're talking about Randy Orton. You're talking about the RKO. The RKO is one of the great video...
Balls, you're the wrestling guy. What is the RKO?
The RKO is out of nowhere, and it's kind of like a stunner, but you're running into it. So you run, you grab the guy's head over your shoulder and drop him.
Right, and you're coming from behind a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
Like the guy doesn't
from
know
out of nowhere.
That's
what I'm talking about, the Randy Orton.
Because there are videos where they've spliced the RKO into someone like falling on ice. Have you seen those videos?
Yeah, Pacquiao got it. Like, everybody gets it when they fall down.
Yeah, if you blow a wheel, all of a sudden Randy Orton's right there laying out an RKO. Okay, I'll keep my hat on a swivel to make sure I don't get hit with an RKO. We didn't really get into this yesterday, but Dave Hudgens is the hitting coach for the Blue Jays. He was on the staff a year ago. Charlie Montoyo hired him, and he's still on the staff. He's down in Dunedin. He's working with the boys. He spoke with the media yesterday. He was the hitting coach for Houston in 2017.
I'm shocked he's still employed. I thought the Jays would do... It's not really fair, but they would say, no, thanks.
Yeah,
it happened to Cora. It happened to...
Beltran, I guess.
Beltran with the Mets. I thought they would just be like, actually, no, thanks.
He tried to plead ignorance a little bit yesterday. Like, oh, I heard the banging, and I was like, what's... No chance.
Dude,
like,
come
no,
on.
You're the hitting coach. If you're associated with that Houston Astros organization in any way,
and
you know exactly what's going on.
When you're on a sports team, it happens one time, and you, as soon as it happens, you're like, what the hell is with that? What is that? What is that? Like, when I got traded once, when I was with the Leafs, anything, I was like, what's that all about? What's this guy all about?
Right.
Why is this happening? What's this? What's you're always inquisitive about things that are happening.
Well, and it's also, if you're the hitting coach, it's your job to know exactly what's happening in the batter's box.
Or don't you think he might have said to a guy, man, you look like you knew that was coming.
Yeah, exactly.
I did.
Hey. Or, like, they probably game plan knowing it. All right, this guy throws a lot of off-speed pitches, so be prepared. Make sure your ears are cleaned, man, because we're going to be just smacking a garbage can all afternoon.
But should you never work again? Like, what should be the punishment for these guys? He made the best point. Why this feels so bad is they didn't get any punishment.
No, that whole team should not be on a field. Anyone that was on that team should not be on a baseball field. The Houston Astros should have been banned from baseball for a year. Like, sorry.
Or something, like, serious. That's why we were looking
you
to...
Or give them an option. Give back the World Series or you're banned for a year. You take your pick.
Well, they could just go take the World Series. I mean, Rob Manfred is also implicated in all this. He's the commissioner. He could walk in and say, it's done. You don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
So... I don't want to see it in the park. I don't want to hear you promoting it. Take the flag down. Everything. He could.
Well, he's 37 under. You know what?
Absolutely.
Golf tournament.
He has looked so soft.
No balls open.
And it's Jim Crane, the owner down there, who made an ass of himself today, clearly thinks he's too big.
Yeah.
His britches are way too big. He is beyond reproach. You cannot come up to old Jimmy Crane and suggest that anything went awry.
Well, I wonder
he won't accept it. And that's on Manfred. Manfred should have been down there with him saying, this is bigger than just these guys coming out here to explain it. They cheated. Everyone knew they cheated. And that's where this Dave Hudgens hiring comes back into play. Everyone knew Houston was cheating. You can't convince me Shapiro and Atkins didn't know that they were cheating. You can't. But yet they still hired the guy who was in the clubhouse.
You think the Jays would have known?
Everyone appeared to have known.
But if everyone knew, why didn't
anyone? No, I don't think everyone knew, because why didn't they? They would have made a stink about it.
Yeah, they would have done something about it.
You know pro sports, man. No one says anything about anything.
Yeah. The Dodgers, like, they would have come out and said they were stealing signs, and it was so blatantly obvious, blah, blah, blah. Like, that would have come out. They lost the World Series to them. You don't think they would have made a stink?
Do you think they've been 100% clean? Do you don't think that the Dodgers have ever done anything? I guarantee you, there's
Do you know how many teams are crapping their pants right now?
There's at least one, minimum, if not multiple, that are sitting there saying, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Like,
if somebody figures out our little noise or our little signal,
exactly,
we're screwed.
So who's to say... It wasn't the Dodgers. It wasn't, you know, whoever it could have been.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a lot of people sitting in the outfield in ballparks that are getting paid money right now to shut up and leave the country.
And that is why you don't say anything. That's what makes this story so unique. Someone said something. Mike Fiers said something. If he didn't, baseball clearly wanted to just let it play. And hopefully it goes away and we move on and no one brings it up and it's not an issue for us. They decided... That was going to be their plan. And I find it hard to believe that everyone in baseball didn't hear the rumors. You know how people talk. You know how people talk about what's going on. Now all of a sudden everyone's saying it. There's reports every other day about people knowing what was going on in Houston and elsewhere in baseball.
Well, wasn't it the Nats? You guys talked about it yesterday. They were warned to look out for this.
Alex Cora had the audacity to call up.
Do you think if they would have lost the World Series, they would have leaked it anyway? Like, we heard that they were cheating?
Washington?
Yeah.
Probably not. They would have had no... I mean, if it didn't go public, I don't think there was any reason... Like, no one wanted to lead the charge, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one... There were other players that played on that 17 team that never spoke up, even though they moved on. Mike Fiers decided to say something. I don't know if he had anything planned. Like, I don't know if that was his intention or if it was just an off-the-cuff during an interview, hey, this is what was going on, and someone caught it and was smart enough to really start to unwrap it, and here we are today. But you know how these fraternities work in pro sports, man. Like, I'm not going to say anything, and I can't guarantee that my hands are clean, so I'm not going to put a spotlight on my franchise.
Do you think retroactively they could go back now and say, you know what, we don't think the punishment was stiff enough? The World Series, gone.
Yes.
We didn't have a World Series winner that year.
I don't see why they couldn't. It's their league.
Yeah.
I don't see. I mean, you might have to put it to a vote. So maybe the owners would have to vote on that.
Like, imagine you go into Houston now and you see the World Series banner for 2017.
Well, we had CJ Nitkowski on last hour, and he made a great point. He's like, you own a World Series ring. You can't wear that out in public. That's not an icebreaker anymore.
But they can still call themselves the World Series champs.
They are the World Series champs. Baseball has allowed them to hold that title.
Yeah. That's what stinks. That's what he's right. You. Oh.
How do you spell that?
O'Neill.
How do you spell O'Neill?
Go ahead, Jonas. Give it a shot.
O-N-E-I-L-L. You're going down.
You got it, man.
That's a tough one to spell, actually.
Where's the apostrophe?
It's
after
the N-I.
O.
He didn't say apostrophe.
Then he's wrong.
Case dismissed. All right, spelling bee in about 20 minutes.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an NFL quarterback that had a procedure done to maybe fix the turnover game. We'll discuss it next.
All right, Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:25. Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic. Feel free to email us anytime, live at tsn1050.ca. Text us 105050 with your name. On Twitter, at HayesTSN. Paul tweeting in saying that, I'm arguing too much this afternoon. It's got to stop.
You? What?
Yeah, me. Me personally. So I guess I gotta lay off. My bad. I thought it was just kind of normal.
I haven't sensed that.
Yeah, I didn't really sense that.
It's been one of our
either.
Best shows of the year.
Yeah, it's been good energy. Good energy. Case dismissed. Paul.
Buddy, that's where you just say to the guy, like, just mind your own business. Like,
get your damn act together.
Like, no one cares, Paul, what you think.
Yeah, I like Paul. Paul's a good man.
No, he's a loser.
Paul's a good
and
man.
Don't write us again.
Just
end
lay
of
off,
story.
Paul. Lay off, Paul.
Yeah.
All right. Jameis Winston, the 30-30 club. Never happened before. 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. The 30 touchdowns.
30 club.
The 30 touchdowns, he had 20-20 vision. The 30 interceptions.
He was.
What was he?
Couldn't see right.
Couldn't see right. Was certainly not 20-20. He had LASIK eye surgery earlier today. And the reason it's a story, like, if Brady has it, you're like, okay, I guess, you know, that was necessary. For whatever reason, your eyesight, maybe it's always been bad or it started to fade on you. And
well, the big thing in the States is, do you think this is going to fix the interception problem?
It's legitimately causing debate.
And I just said to you during break, if he ever fixes that, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the world. But he just turns the ball over and he's stupid with the football.
Well, remember his last game of the year, and it was a game, it was over. The game was, his season was done. How many picks did he throw? I want to say he threw like four picks. I think he threw four touchdowns and four picks or something like that. Because he had to really throw picks. It was like Gretzky going
to get
for
to 30.
Yeah, it was like Gretzky going for 50 goals in 39 games. For him to get to 30, he really had to throw a lot of picks.
He had to work for it.
In week 17. Because he does have a great arm. He's fearless, which is a true quality if you're a quarterback. Like, that's actually a compliment. Because there are a lot of guys who don't throw the ball enough. You're trying to scale him back as opposed to getting him to actually make the throw.
Yeah, because when you do it well, you're Brett Favre, you're a gunslinger. But when you're not, do you think he's not signed for next year, right?
No, he's not.
Do you think a team like let's say the Patriots don't bring back Brady, do you think Belichick would look at him and be like, I can fix this?
Absolutely.
I got this.
I think there's a real chance Belichick said, go get your eyes fixed, get LASIK on me, and
we'll talk.
We'll talk. Because
I bet you Belichick could fix him.
I don't know if he can fix. I mean, 30 picks, man. That is so tough. Do you know how tough it is to throw 30 interceptions in 16 games?
It's I forgot really about tough. That. There's only 16 games.
Yeah, man. Like, it's tough. But I do think Belichick would look at him and say, you know, he's got a presence in the pocket. He's got an arm.
Yeah.
Can I clean him up a little bit? Can I put him in a better position to succeed? I don't even know if he'll be a starter next year. He'll be in the league. Someone will sign him.
How many picks did Mahomes have all year, Grappler? All year. I guarantee you it's not more than 10.
I doubt he had. I'll bet you had 5. I think he probably threw 5 picks. How many?
5?
Yeah, he had 5 picks.
So Belichick would have to sit down and say, how am I getting 25 picks off of this guy?
Yeah. How am I going to cut this down 25 interceptions? That LASIK better work to perfection.
But he's got to be like Wild Thing. Just wear the goggles out in the field underneath the helmet.
Do you think this is... I mean, no one's going to go through this surgery. It's a bit of a complicated surgery. There is an element of danger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever you're using lasers in your eyes, I mean, there is a chance you lose vision. I would assume it's probably gone so bad that maybe some people have gone blind courtesy of it. I know that's a part of the warning.
So you're telling me you can walk out of LASIK and be blind?
Well, I don't know that, but I would assume it comes with... There's got to be warnings. Like, hey, you know, we're trying to fix your eyes here using a laser. But do you think this could be a... kind of selling point for Jameis Winston? Do you think his agent's like, I got to get this out? He threw 30 picks because he couldn't see right. Like, that is why causing him issues.
It's like a perfect story.
It opens the door for a possibility.
Yeah.
But how do you explain the 30 touchdowns?
Man, like,
how do you see?
His vision wasn't right. Like, he was struggling with it all year. We decided it was time to fix it.
So he battled
it's
enough.
It's not, obviously. Like, it's all your it's smarts, right?
Right. Isn't it? Well, yeah.
You're throwing 30 picks. You're doing stupid things.
You're reckless. He is. He's absolutely careless.
But that's what I'm saying, why Belichick could fix it, because he could just... You would think that Tampa Bay, the organization, would have non-negotiable standards where it's like, you do that again, but he just kept doing it.
Well, he was a number one pick, right?
Yeah, he was.
Who cares?
And how many head coaches did they have?
He's had a number of them. He's had at least 3.
It's been a gong show.
Yeah, which doesn't help. I mean, that's what Baker Mayfield's going through now.
Oh, man.
Baker is about to be on his 3rd coach. So he's got to learn a new playbook. He's got to find a comfort level with the coach. Right? I mean, that's not easy.
Well, maybe Belichick would just say, we're just going to make it really simple on you.
That is what I would do with Jameis Winston.
You don't think the people in the Tampa Bay?
They didn't have a running attack. They had weapons,
they have two
too, right?
Amazing receivers.
They got weapons. Exactly.
I know, but you don't think that somebody sat him down and said, look, Bruce Arians?
Arians, yeah. I think you're...
You don't think that he sat him down and said, look, we got to make this easy for you?
Probably. He should have. I would hope so.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he still went ahead with it. Maybe he was calling audibles at the line. I don't know what he was doing. But 30 picks is disgusting. And I think Brady would probably say, you know, we're going to treat you kind of like the Niners treat Garoppolo. Like, you're going to... It's a lot of throws out of the backfield, yeah. A lot of screens, we're not going to ask you to step back and be a slinger. And I think you kind of have to do that. And if Brady walks and they're looking for somebody, that is a project that I could see Bill Belichick saying, I'll take it on. Spelling Bee in about 10 minutes. The O-Dog up against Jonas Siegel.
We're
team
doing
I
it
test.
Right at 6.
Team I test up against Team
Ninja Nerd Hurdle.
And Bob McKenzie will be in studio. Get back into the Leaf game tonight. The Dallas Stars in town. Their only appearance here in Toronto. Tyler Seguin in the building. Jamie Benn in the building tonight. But Radulov not playing. That's big. That's a big miss for Dallas tonight. And Freddie Anderson will be making his return. And I hope for his sake, you know, for the team's sake, he steps in, plays really well tonight, puts the injury behind him, and then he can just... Because they survived it. They survived without him. Like,
well,
that's basically what they
half
did.
Half the time, anyway.
Well, you're not. I don't think
get
you
those
expect
points back.
No, I know that, but you don't expect to go perfect. Like, if any backup steps in, unless it's a true tandem, like if it's a legitimate one and then two, if the backup steps in, how many games did they miss him for? Five and a half? Four and a half? You know. I think we would have signed off on it. What they got out of it.
Yeah. Sure.
You wouldn't do that?
Jack Campbell's got to get in the net five more times. That's all he's got to do for the rest of the year.
Yep.
That's five times.
10 points that you could potentially get. Go out and get 6 of the 10. Let Freddie do the rest
of
the work.
And you'll be a god.
Yeah, you will be. All right, final hour up next. Bobby Mack in studio. The Spelling Bee coming up. We'll tee up the Leaf game. We'll get back into the Raptors' loss in Brooklyn last night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.